Okay, turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, reading for verse 9. This is the last morning on Jabez. If you haven't been with us, we have spoke about how his name means pain. He was birthed in pain, but he was one that turned to God and asked to be blessed by God in the first Sunday service of the new year. We spoke about what it would mean to be a people that was simply blessed by God and what it might look like. And last week we spoke about how there's yet more to be done. There's more lives to be reached for Jesus. There's more poor to be helped. There's more compassion ministries to be brought to fruition. If it would it look like if God would enlarge our territories, and we should always pray a prayer, a boldness to say, God, enlarge our territory. There's yet more things to be done in the northeast of Scotland for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just as a church, but your individual life as well. But I've got to say, this last message, usually I like to ken if I'm speaking on by the closer office on Monday. And especially, you'd think it'd be easy if you're doing a series that you think, well, it's just the next verse, really, is it, in a prayer? But I really wrestled with this verse that I want to speak on. The verse, I'm going to read it for the NIV, because I think it comes across better in the NIV. I'll just read the whole verse. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named his Jabez, saying, I give birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, or that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. And this is the verse for the day. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from all harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. The message this morning is, let your hand be with me. In some sense, let your hand be with me is an easy message to preach. It's a message I've preached probably loads of times. As a Pentecostal church, we can say about the hand of the Lord gone with us, that it's about power, it's about strength, it's about might. That God teamed the Israelites out for the stronghold of Egypt by the might of his right hand. It was to deal with power, it was to deal with authority, and when they stood at the Red Sea with Moses and they couldn't get through the Red Sea and the Egyptians was catching up. It says that God just parted the Red Sea. It could be about power and deliverance and might. But when I was reading this on Monday, Tuesday, I thought, it's just not really what I'm feeling. It would be an easy, I guess, exciting message to preach. We could speak about Acts chapter 6 when the apostles prayed during a time of persecution that Peter and John came back and told them nothing that they had been accused of doing, and they never prayed for the persecution to stop. They prayed, God, that your hand would go with us in healing power. And it says that the message of Jesus spread, and God moved in healing power as his hand was stretched forth in power. And so there's one side of God's hand that's to deal with power, it's to deal with majesty, it's to deal with deliverance, and we could open up again the front of the church. And we could say, God, let your hand come, as we did last week. And we prayed for people to be set free from sickness. But as I was journeying through Monday and Tuesday, it was like a wrestling match with God, like Jacob. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I was like, I'm not letting you go until I really feel this is a word for you. Because it's one thing to just stand up and share nice words, and they could be true words. But it's another thing to stand up and think, I really feel this is for the Lord. And on Wednesday, I just got a simple picture. I got a picture. I'm not forgetting loads of pictures. And then I sort of left it, and then amen sent the day after. The picture I got when I was praying was just a young girl standing at the side of the road. I guess you could say a what in larger territory, just trying to cross the road. But she looked really vulnerable, and she looked really scared as she stood there alone. Now, I didn't really think it tied in with my message at all, so I just thought, I wonder what that means. And so I just kept on trying to wrestle and think, God, what are you trying to say through this verse about, may your hand go with me, may you keep me from evil, and may I didn't cause any pain. And then the day after, so it's Thursday, so if I hadn't got my message really set out for Thursday, start to feel really vulnerable because I can't that Sunday's just around the corner. So on Thursday, I was picking Isaac up for school. So picking a picture, I bide in Williams Crescent, and then the street next is Alexandra Terrace. It's where the posh folk bide. That's a really wide street. And Isaac's to cross that. It's the only road he's got to cross that's dangerous. The next road is the road that the school's at, which there's a lollipop wifey for him to do at. Isaac's the kind of guy that you just wouldn't trust him just to do it on his own. He's very savvy, he's very aware, but there would be a bit of man that just thinks he would just step out. And because it's a wide road, cars park at both sides, and cars can go really fast in that place. And there's nobody to help him across. So I've always got it in my mind that either me or Isabel or somebody else needs to be there to get him across that road for that bit of the journey. So on Thursday, I met him, 10 to 3, left here, went to meet him. And then he says, Isaac, I said, side of the road. I said, Isaac, just take my hand, would you? Just take my hand. And at that moment, I knew that God's heart was for this morning to share this message. As Jabez was praying, his blessings and territory, God, would your hand go with me? Would you keep me for evil? It's like the Lord's Prayer, protect us for temptation, for the evil one. And I just took Isaac's hand. It's the dee wee vulnerability, I think's got a big part to play. See, when I was younger, vulnerability was a weakness. And you thought you were some sort of superhuman as you lived your life. And I used to think, no matter fit I do, be like Star Trek, live long and prosper. Because you were invincible when you were younger. You just thought that you would just, whatever you did to your body, you were just going to survive. You were just going to live long. But as you get older, would you agree, you just feel more vulnerable to life when you start watching. Like when I was young, being skinny was not an effort. I could eat 3 McDonald's every day. I was just skinny, 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 skinny. And now, it's an effort. And I feel vulnerable. Because I think now I've got to work at being healthy. And you used to just take it for granted. And as you go, Allah, as a Christian, to start with when I got saved, I don't only meet to look after. I wasn't married. I was in Teen Challenge. You can my story. I didn't have any bills to pay. It was all laid on for me. I thought I was just going to come back and conquer the world for Jesus. Superhuman. But then as you progress in the Christian life, it's a good thing that vulnerability, that you are in constantly in need of the hand of the Father. And as things get added to your life, some things do for some and not for others. As you get a job, get responsibility, you have bills to pay. There's a sense as you live this life, you actually become more dependent upon Jesus. As you grow in the Christian life and you feel really vulnerable. But that vulnerable is not a bad thing. See, that type of vulnerability, it's a good thing. See, if you were sitting here saying, I've got all together, I'm strong enough, I'm wise enough, I've got enough qualifications to do life on my own. But you really says, I don't need Jesus in my life. I've got enough to make myself happy and get on with life. But it's a great gift to stand at the edge of a road and pray, God bless me, enlarge my territory. But to feel a vulnerability like Isaac does at the side of the road. Before we go, would your hand go with me? It's like the secret hand of God. Now in ministry, there's a public hand of God. Salvation and baptisms. The filling of the Holy Spirit. As we meet together like us. As we believe for people to be healed. That God would publicly stretch forth his hand. And a lot of my Christian life, I have prayed, look, God, stretch forth your hand and power. But fucking, there's a gap in between your ministry life and public life, God life. And that you need God's hand in daily living. And it's a sweet moment that you hear with Jesus, or just daily life, getting up in the morning, saying, God, before I cross this road, would your hand go with me? Because I'm not feeling strong enough. I'm not feeling wise enough. And the Christian life is dependent upon a heavenly Father. And a lot of it is done in secret. And Jabez prayed this prayer. I believe he was at the edge of his fence. He's saying, look, God, give me more things. Give me more territory for Jesus. Amen. But let your hand of strength, let your hand of comfort and protection go with me, because that is what he prayed. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm. You can that Isaac's got full trust. If and he holds my hand at the curb, that I'm bigger than him. Nay, much bigger than him. Dallas Loon, now Jacobs, he's got to be bigger than me. I'll be holding his hand to get across it. Alexandra Terrace. But he's got full confidence, and it's not even a thought, it's not even a panic. As soon as I touch Dad's hand, he can peep through the cars that's parked. He can see Larry's coming. He can sense the danger, and he can just merrily skip across the road because he cares. Father's got his hand. Do you care that you've got a father that sees all things, that senses danger? That doesn't just see a Larry as you're crossing a road. He sees it before it leaves the station. He knows all things. He's all-knowing. He's all-wise. He's all-seeing. He's everywhere at the same time. Omnipresent, omniscient, all-powerful. And I just get to connect my hand to his hand and say, Father, will your hand go with me? Because this world can be a devastating world, and some things blindside you, and as you're crossing this road, it's like, ever seen people, really annoying people, I will say, you better never be one of them. You walk across a road, and they're in the distance in their car, and they put their foot down. You ever witness people like that? You say, oh, you feel like standing in the middle of the road and say, come on, I'm a pedestrian here. And I sense you're putting down a foot. Or people's crossing the road. Sometimes things blindside you in life. And I can tell you stories about what God has brought me through. But I cannot tell you stories that God has saved my faith. I'm going to tell you about that. Sometimes we miss this because we see God's stretched forth hand in public. But we actually didn't care that God has saved us faith as we have just walked this world we are. Me and Isabel have a lot of interesting conversations. Sometimes I'll say, look, it'd be good for you to share your story. So you did it a few years ago at Christmas time. She says, man, I got an interesting story like you, Ken. Why would folk listen to me? Sometimes we do categorize testimonies, like bad boy stories that turn good. It was a good testimony. Get to hear all the bad stuff that they did, and then Jesus saved them, and then they became good. But the testimony of somebody that got saved in Sunday school at 4 and just lived their life for Jesus is somehow inferior. Well, let me tell you something. The same God and the same grace that takes people who are mud and miry in difficult situations, saves them through scenarios, is the same God that saves people through difficult scenarios. In fact, the testimony of the three-year-old that went to Sunday school, got saved, and just followed Jesus the rest of your life, praise God for that testimony. That you didn't have to snort some stuff or stick some stuff in your veins or get doing in the dirt and get in a sack of debt before you realized that God was good. So now you devalue your testimony because I've been through what they've been through, so nobody can listen to me. If that was the case, Jesus was pretty poor at testifying. You can't the Ian that did no sin. No bad boy stories to say for Jesus because he was perfect in every way. Yet this spotless lamb, that paid for our sin and shame was completely relevant to every single person that he encountered because he loved them and because he wanted them. And so didn't I devalue your story because God has saved you for some things? Hey, listen, maybe it's cool. God just put good people on your table. They wouldn't have got to tempt you to do things at break time. Maybe God just, we have no idea if God protects us for. Maybe it was at a junction. He led us to go left. If we turned right, it would have been chaos. And we were just driving in our cars. Not thinking that one thing, but fit to have for dinner. Little do you care, God has just saved you. But we didn't care. It's the secret hand of God, our protection. We just put out our hand and trust him. It's like when you're coming to the Tesco's roundabout on your way to Aberdeen. And then you're sitting at the junction. And then 9 times out of 10, a lorry comes doing a bypass. Goes in front of you, am I right? And then starts going out the Aberdeen Road. If I just nipped out in front of that thing, I'd be off. It's 60 mile an hour maximum. And then you're stuck behind it, and you're edging out and thinking, oh, come on, Laura, and I can find next, I can pass this thing. There's just no loads of big straights, the in before Mintla. And then you're frustrated, and you think, oh, I've booked a cinema for an hour's time, I'm not sure if I'm going to mark this. And you edge out, and you think, oh, here. This is just my luckiest day. The lorry stuck behind a tractor. Isn't it? Always a tractor that run, you think, dearie me, this is an impossible move. God, smite me, almighty smiter. Why have you, this lorry, this tractor, surely if God you was real, you would just, this would be a clear path to Aberdeen the day. And you keep edging out and hear Stevie learning somebody to drive in front of the tractor. So you've got to learn our driver. God bless him. Have I been there if you drive a car? Stuck behind a tractor, stuck behind a lorry. You're going slow and you just give up, didn't you? And you start beating your steering wheel if ever your thing is to show your annoyance in a car thinking, ah, I'm slow. God doesn't love me the day. Da, 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 da. But, however, what about it for you kind of see is God had to slow you doing that day. I was thinking about this when I was taking Emily at Crimmins for our keyboard lessons. It was an icy road. An exact same scenario happened. I was stuck behind a learner driver that was stuck behind a lorry. I made a tractor bit up. And I was going slow, and I thought, I need to get past this. Then I thought, maybe I need to go slow today. And maybe I'm just kind of like my grand, I used to say, better arriving late in one piece than nay in one piece. And what we didn't see is that God has sent 3 things to slow you down. Because for you didn't ken, there's maybe black ice. For you didn't ken, there's maybe some crazy person in a car coming in the other direction. And if you were going at your speed without hindrances, you would have hurt that thing. Now, I ken bad things happen to good people as well. I'm just trying to make you see. Maybe if it was just on that road, kenning God's hand upon our lives. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus, I can even drive. The cinema can wait. The meeting can wait. God, we trust your secret hand that's caring for me at every point and in every scenario. Maybe if we just didn't hear our idea how God answers prayers and just thought, can something, it's okay. If I just need to go 20, 30 mile an hour and pass that safe place, that is for all day. Protect us for evil. God has got an amazing record of guiding his people, of providing for his people. As we read through the story of Joseph, he guided Joseph miraculously from a pit place to the palace, step by step, through dreams and visions. There wasn't really a massive hand that went out that parted out the pit and placed him in a palace. It was just year on year he'd went to prison, but guiding, putting people in his life in every point, at every circumstance, it says that God blessed him and he was highly favored by God, even in a prison place. God has got a good record of guiding his people. He guided Moses, even as a baby, along a riverbank, so that Pharaoh's daughter could pick him up, calm Moses, because he was rescued out of the water. And Pharaoh's daughter gave him back to Moses' mom, because God can guide his people even in a vulnerable situation if we would trust him. And Moses' mom and dad, when they put him just into the basket, had the faith that God would do something with him that they maybe couldn't see. And they surely prayed, "May your hand go with him." And as Moses was crossing that Red Sea, God, beyond the Red Sea, was going to guide him through a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, because God is a God that guides his people. So when we ask God, as Jabez asked, "God, may your hand go with us." Maybe it's just like Isaac at the side of the road. Maybe it is power, maybe this will be the year that we see the Lord move in power and his stretched forth hand. But I believe there's people in here that would say, "Father, I just need your hand to go with me in daily life, the things I'm dealing with." And maybe we'll get a different perspective of God almost secretly protecting us. Like at the airport, when it comes up that your flight is 7 hours delayed. How I've disappointed. Is that 7 hours delayed and you'd be stuck in a terminal because of an engine fault. And we get frustrated and we think, "I'd rather be up in the sky, I've got things to do." But maybe God led that person to see the engine fault before you was on it, because there's precious cargo. Where would you rather have an engine fault at? On the tarmac, while you've got duty free and you can go and get your perfumes. And go and hang a schlor and all them things. And go and get a new handbag for yourself. Well, they fix the airplane for you to get for A to B. Or would you rather be in the sky? And they say, "Hold on, we didn't see this on the tarmac. We now have an engine fault." And then nobody turns into Christians. I mean, hearing a story of Rio Ferdinand when they was coming back for a game. And it came up, engine fault. He said, "I didn't realize Abdi believed in God." But Abdi started praying. Because maybe they see God's protecting us. By a moment of danger, Abdi suddenly becomes Christians. And, please God, save us. And then they were saved. There's God's secret hand in our lives. Well, maybe save us. Maybe find that engine fault before it gets catastrophic. I'm kind of closing just a second. I don't think it's been the most exciting sermon you'll ever hear in the world. But yeah, the picture is and the message is, for it is. And I think Jabez felt vulnerable that, "God, if you've got to give me more things, may your hand go with me. Protect me from evil." And when God answers that prayer, we never see if he's actually protected us fair. We'll never see it. We'll maybe find out in eternity when we meet him face to face, and he'll say, "Kevin, look how much I brought you through. But also for you didn't ken. This is the book that you didn't see. This is for I've protected you fair. If I just let you go out way, I would end in catastrophe. But look, I told you to go out way, you went out way. And you were okay." There was this person that's got to come into your life, that's got to ruin your whole life. But I stopped that moment from happening. I distracted you for a moment. But look what happened. I think if he opens up that book, we'll be like, "God, you protected us from evil. You really did. You're my shield. You're my refuge." And yeah, bad stuff happened, painful stuff happened, because Jabez also prayed, "Protect me from pain." I want to tell you, if you're not a Christian, you will go through pain, but it doesn't define you. This guy was defined by pain. His name was Pain, and he came to a point, I don't want to be known by pain, by onimer. When Apostle Paul wrote his story in prison, he says, firstly, I'm in Christ first, and I'm in prison. I'm in Christ, and I'm in prison. The first thing you are in is in Christ. Secondly, you'll experience pain. You can have prison moments, but you're still in Christ, and I would rather be in Christ than prison. A hell lot of things without him. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I'll read this. Then we'll close. A different sort of sermon. And there are 3 points beginning with P. I wrestled with that. I thought, I really need to get something like that. But you got to hear the heart of the Lord. You're on the curb. You feel alone. You feel vulnerable. A picture of the little girl is scared in case something happens. She's nobody to help her. I feel as though there's some people in here like this. But the picture of Isaac. Give me your hand, Dad. He doesn't have to worry about fits coming at him, about the ladder that comes out, about the car that pits doing a fit. He cans, he's getting to the other side. And sometimes I'll put my head out, sense the danger, step back. Can we go get him? I want to tell you, when we get him, he doesn't run into Isabel and say, you'll never guess. Dad saved my life. He just speaks about what happened at school. Because it's just a moment. It's an unseen hand. It's so gentle. You can hardly even sense it, but it happened. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God, as Jabez prayed, give me your hand. May your hand go with me. That gentle hand of protection, of compassion, of being our shield, of encouragement, of care. Lean not on your own understanding as you're crossing this road, O life. It's not about what we think. It's not about how best we can navigate this situation, this road, during this time in our own strength. Then I lean on your own understanding. That's difficult because our default is always, this is how I can do this. In all your ways, submit to him. As soon as Isaac put his hands in my hand, he submits. I'll go at the pace you go, Dad. I'll step out when you say. I'll journey as you journey. He submits to me. And he will make your path straight. And ask a worship team to come up. The unseen, gentle, protective hand of God that would go with us. At the end of the prayer, at Jabez, when he's finished praying, let your hand be with me, keep me from harm, so I'll be free from pain. It says that God granted his request. We've prayed through this week and week, bless us, Lord, enlarge our territory, Lord. And we land on this, that there's a Father that loves you, that he's all-seeing, he's wiser than you. All things were created by him, for him, and through him, made for his glory. He's more equipped to get you to the other side than I am with Isaac. Because I've got my faults and I can be rash like anybody. I am qualified to cross a road though. Wouldn't you now just want to put your hand and say, God, just in between the ministry moments, in between the places that people see, I need to walk with you every day, hand in hand. I'm a guy that's in need of protection. That's not very manly. Well, it's not very manly then. I'm a guy in need of strength. I'm a guy in need of protection. I I've got a lot to live for. I'm a guy in need of you, Father, every day. And it feels vulnerable, but also feels right. It feels as though I'm saying weak things, and I should be saying I'm strong enough, I'm big enough, I've got enough answers. But as our rightness to saying, God, would you be my strength? Would you be my power? Would you be my protector? And so as God, just search your own heart, may I ask for a response, because this is a gentle moment. Because I believe it's a time of gentleness or tenderness. You reckon what I go through in a week. I reckon what you go through in a week. I can, when we come together, something special happens as God is glorified in our midst. But there's things that you will face this next week, that you will need the support of a Heavenly Father. Things that I will face in the next week that you will never ken about. I will only share about it next Sunday. There's things I will definitely go through this week that I need His hand. And when you get His hand, you feel that liberation, a joy, like Isaac skipping across the road because he's got that connection and he's got that place of safety. And maybe we'll approach circumstances with a greater sense of peace and calmness and joy when we can, I'm connected to God. El Shaddai, the God of glory. His hand. We see it as we have cleaned this place. If I were to kiss a hand, would you kiss a hand? He's like, I got a deal in my hand, just kiss a hand. So at the end of this moment, I'm just got to go a bit Doric on you. Maybe you need to say to God, just kiss a hand. And He says, yes. For He's a God that grants that request. It's a request that He loves to grant. And the answer is a request for a hand for you know His kids. So God, before we move in another moment, for we will lift up Your name again, we mark ourselves vulnerable in this place and say we haven't got all the answers or all the strength. And God, as we have prayed that You would enlarge our territory as a fellowship, there's more people to see saved, there's more people to be healed and delivered. We stand on that edge and say for 2022, we want more than we've seen in 2021. We don't want to do it in our own strength, but God, we stand here and say, God, would You put Your hand in our hands? Would You protect us from evil? That plans the schemes of the enemy that comes towards us, that we can, God, that You are real, but there's also a real enemy. His name is Satan, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he comes especially against Christians because we remind them of Jesus. God, would You keep us for evil, evil intentions, and keep us for pain. Or keep us from being so burdened down by pain that we become ineffective, and that this year will be a year of breakthrough. That the tags or history or pain or shame and sin would go, and there'll be a newness, there'll be a freshness as we rise up as sons and daughters of the living God. Continuing to walk step in step with a Heavenly Father, with Your hand in Your hand. The place of security. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During worship, there was an amazing sense of God's peace. I believe, as I've shared God's word, I felt for this morning that protect the peace that God gives you. You will face some things in life, or even by the time you get home. Just remember whose hand you hold. It's the same hand that holds the world. Let's stand and sing our praises once again before we leave. God bless us.